Today, I want to work the fourth of the acid-base problems I had identified, which is to calculate the pH or the pOH of a solution of a conjugate of a weak base, or no, a weak acid. And because it's such a common example, I'm going to continue to use acetic acid as my example. Now, I want you to consider something. Suppose a 0.75 molar aqueous solution of acetic acid is exactly neutralized by sodium hydroxide without changing the volume of the solution. That's a key part of it. Given the pKa of acetic acid is 4.76, calculate the pH of the resulting solution. This wording, who knows where maybe it came from, pass test, but it sets up an interesting point, because if we write this reaction equation out, what I said is suppose that we have acetic acid that we react with sodium hydroxide. If these are aqueous solutions, we know that hydroxide completely dissociates because it's a strong base. Just to highlight what goes on in the reaction, the hydroxide will grab a hydrogen from acetic acid, and so it becomes an anion, acetate, so the sodium is going to be associated with it now, and then of course we end up with water as a product. But look at what we have on the right-hand side. If we just looked at the products, this is the same as sodium acetate dissolved in water. The reason I point that out is one type of problem that you will encounter is to calculate the pH of a salt solution. So, and that's effectively what we're doing if we fully neutralize acetic acid. So the question could be, well, how would we handle this problem? There are two different ways to do it. And, you know, I didn't practice way number two before class. So let's just do it and see if my chemical intuition is right. And if it's an epic fail, well, you know, at least you know not to do it that way. But the reason I want to try is because I feel like I've actually learned some things in teaching this quarter, like little subtle ways of thinking about equilibrium that, you know, you teach and you teach and you teach, and eventually it's like, oh, that's why that is. You know, you still come up with realizations if you still care. So, here's what I'm going to do. Of course, water is ignored in any equilibrium constant. Ah, but here's the problem. That's why I can't do it the way I want to do it. we can't use a KA to solve this problem directly. Can anybody tell me why not? The master becomes the student. All right, so let me start this whole thing over again to help explain what's going on. I said, here's an acid. We're going to neutralize it. And we're going to come up with this salt. We're supposed to calculate the pH of this mixture. And I'm looking at this equation, and I was starting to think, okay, let's do some equilibrium problem with that equation. But that equation is not acid dissociation, is it? This is a neutralization equation. Which is not represented by either KA or KB. But if we get the time, I'm going to, well, because there's some cartoon references that have already gone up, we're going to go into Super Saiyan mode. And so that we can see the connections between some of the equilibrium theory we've learned and this exact problem right here. But I don't want to get too lost in all that theory because we got to solve this numerical problem first, which has a very clear answer. And the answer is this. It is assumed in this problem that acetic acid is completely neutralized then the resulting salt is allowed to reach equilibrium. Wait, what does that mean? Okay, so super duper theory moment coming up in just a second here is going to explain why this reaction doesn't actually go all the way forward. But we assume it does to work this problem. So like, you notice I wrote a forward-only arrow. And I said, imagine that this is completely neutralized. So we're going to end up with this salt. And then the way to work with the problem is to say, well, okay, actually, that salt is basic because it comes from a weak acid. So then we can write this equation. Acetate reacts with water to form acetic acid and hydroxide. This Wow. Okay. During the break, there's an obscure reference I'm going to try out. I've got to remember it first, though. All right, so come back to this reaction. This is a KB expression. Why? Because we have B minus reacting with water in order to form HB and hydroxide. So the other day, you saw a different version of this formula where B started out neutral. And HB was positively charged. That's because you can have neutral charge bases like ammonia that become cations when they grab a hydrogen. But of course, we have hydroxide or acetate that start out negatively charged. And so when they grab a hydrogen, they become neutral. So the general formula for this KB would be HB times hydroxide divided by B minus. So in this case, it would be, I'm going to write this in shorthand form. CH3CH2OH times OH minus over concentration of CH3CH2O minus. Now, why is this a problem we can solve? Because we'll come up with a hydroxide concentration. And this is a Kb expression now. That's why we assumed complete neutralization and then allow it to come back to equilibrium, because this is a Kb calculation, which we've already done before. The only trick is this. Ka is equal to Kw divided by Kb. Or you could say that the pKb... Wait, sorry. Skipped a step. Strike it. Reverse it. So we want Kb. We have Ka. So we're going to flip it around this way and say Kb is equal to Kw divided by Ka, which is also the same thing as saying pKb is equal to pKw minus pKa. Those are equivalent mathematical expressions. The second one's more convenient because we already have a pKa value. But, and this is going to be the, if I can get you all to understand the thing that I'm going to go off on one day about this, then you'll know your acid-base chemistry. Because this statement is only true of conjugate acid-base pairs. So we'll get into that in the future. But for right now, we need the pKb to solve this ice problem that we want to do. pKw, we're going to assume room temperature, which means pKw is equal to 14. Because Kw is 10 to the negative 14. pKa was given as 4.76, so pKb is equal to 9.24. Kb is equal to 10 raised to the negative pKb power. So it's 10 to the negative 9.24, which is... I should know that number already. Hold on. 9.24 negative 10 power. 5.76. 5.75. Times 10 to the negative 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10! So now we can fill out our ice table. B minus, or let's call it acetate, so let's call it CH3CH2O minus. Have acetic acid. And hydroxide as products. So our initial concentration is 0.75 molar of the acetate. You might say, well, where did you get that? Well, we had 0.75 molar acetic acid, and I said, imagine it's neutralized without changing the volume. So that means you have just as much of the base that's formed. So this is equal to moles acid, or equal to the concentration of acid. Wait. Since it was fully neutralized. And again, with no volume change. So we assume 0 and 0 for the other two concentrations, just like we do on all of our other problems. What does P and pKa and pKb stand for? It's not conjugate, it's power or potential, actually, which is the negative base 10 log of some other thing. And so P can show up as a pH, POH, PI, PKA, PKB. I know there's some other P's out there. I think sound intensity, that the negative 10 log of it is where you get decibels from. I believe it's something like that. And light intensity is something similar, but I'm not a physicist and I haven't done it in ages, so I'm just trying to guess. But that's what the P is, negative base 10 log. Okay, so continuing, change. Monoprotic base, meaning it's a base that can only grab one proton. So negative X plus X plus X, just like so many of the problems that you've done. So substituting in, we're going to assume X is small enough. And we still got to come back to that small enough thing, but just to finish this problem off, that means we're going to say that KB is HB times OH minus over B minus, which is going to be X times X over 0.75, because we get rid of the X. We assume it's small enough. And this is equal to 5.75 times 10 to the negative 10. So on the next page, we will wrap up that calculation. All right, so the next thing would be to rewrite it a little bit. We'd get X squared is equal to 0.75 times 5.75 times 10 to the negative 10. Which is equal to 4.32 times 10 to the negative 10. And that means X is equal to the square root, which is 2.08 times 10 to the negative 5. Which is equal to what? The OH concentration. Big mistake that people make here. Sorry, let me back up. Someone is asking, where did I get this 10 to the negative PKB from? So that is just the definition of PKB written in opposite direction. So in other words, PKB is the negative base 10 log of KB. And so solving in reverse, KB is 10 raised to the negative PKB power. Now in working this problem, I was saying the big mistake that's often made right here is people solve for X and say, okay, that's H+. But that's not H+, that's hydroxide, not the H+ concentration. So in this problem, we had to convert from an acid constant to a base constant. That's because we needed to work the problem as a base. But if we're working the problem as a base, that means we end up with hydroxide as our concentration. So now we have to go backwards and say that the H plus concentration is equal to Kw divided by the hydroxide ion concentration. So 1.0 times 10 negative 14 divided by 2.08 times 10 negative 5 is equal to 4.81. Times 10 to the negative 10. Which means the pH is equal to the negative base 10 log 4.81 times 10 negative 10, which is equal to 9.32. Which makes sense. If we neutralize a weak acid, we expect the solution to be basic. And let me just write down that fact. Since this is a neutralization of a weak acid, more specifically, with a strong base, it makes sense the neutralized solution should be basic. And that's just reliving the fact that neutral is not the same thing as neutralized. So, not that we would do this, but let me come back to a point that I was referring to when I started working this problem today. Where do we get the value from Kw? It's 1.0 times 10 to negative 14th at 25 degrees Celsius, which is something you'd get in your text. And if we were doing problems at other temperatures, then you would have to look up in a resource, a table somewhere on the internet, to find what the Kw would be at some other temperature. Keep things simple, though. We're always going to assume 25 degrees Celsius. So, let me come back to the first page of notes here, because I was talking about how to solve this problem, and I was starting to think down an alley where, okay, maybe we could do this, and I'll show another way of working the answer, and I stopped myself because I realized, well, this thing I was writing is not actually a neutralization equation, but we could create this out of two different equations. Let me show you something. If we have acetic acid, we know that it will undergo autoionization. Which is where it deprotonates all by itself. And this would have a Ka value associated. Suppose I took the autoionization of water and I reversed it. Well, when water breaks apart into the two ions, we know that this is Kw. This is the reverse reaction, so using an equilibrium constant, or concept, that means that this equation has a constant of 1 over Kw. If you add the two equations together, you're going to do what? Well, you have H plus that cancels out on both sides of the equation. And so you're left with acetic acid, hydroxide, acetate, and water. And the equilibrium constant is equal to Ka divided by Kw. So there is another way we could work this equilibrium problem. I don't recommend it. Mostly, I'm just trying to show you how we can use manipulations of equilibrium constants. Remember the previous chapter had, well, what happens if you double reaction, what happens if you take the reverse of a reaction. It had different things you did with the equilibrium constants. If you add two reactions together, you simply multiply their constants together. So the top reaction is Ka because that's the definition of Ka, an acid dissociating. The bottom reaction, its constant is 1 over Kw because it's the reverse of what Kw is. This is water forming instead of breaking apart. When you then add these two reactions together, you multiply the two constants, which is how you get Ka divided by Kw. But now that we've talked about equilibrium more, then I want to come back to this idea of neutralizing acetic acid. So, not updating, hold on. There we go. So, this is acetic acid dissociating, and its Ka is equal to 1.76 times 10 to the negative 5, which means it is a weak acid. Now, what is a weak acid? One that does not dissociate very much in solution. Why does it not dissociate very much? Because it's not energetically favorable to do so. So Ka is less than 1. So this is a positive change in energy that's going to go on between reactants and products. And instead of just writing reactants and products, let me write the structures of the molecules there to make this a little bit more clear. Energy on our y-axis, reaction progress on our x-axis. So what this diagram shows us is that at equilibrium, if acetic acid is left all by its own, then it only dissociates a little bit. But remember what I said earlier, that to put it in a poor mathematical way, you could say that sodium acetate is kind of the same thing as acetic acid and hydroxide mixed together. Sodium hydroxide. So, if acetic acid was somehow forced to dissociate, no, I'm sorry, that's a little bit off of what I was trying to say. The substance sodium acetate in solution would be the same result as forcing acetic acid to dissociate. Using sodium hydroxide. So, this means in terms of the acid dissociation of acetic acid, the solution is not at all in equilibrium. Since there's no reactants, so no reverse reaction, and the system is not at its lowest point in energy. Notice I just worked the three definitions of equilibrium into that discussion. Equilibrium is where the concentrations of reactants and products are not necessarily equal, but they're no longer changing. Well, if we only have acetate in solution, there's no acetic acid, so there can't be a balance. So that means that Q is not equal to K, and so it's going to change to equal K. But thinking of it from a kinetics standpoint, if you only have products, the only type of reaction possible is the reverse reaction. And as this diagram shows, going towards the fully dissociated products, that's higher in energy. So if you start out at that point, it's going to want to roll back downhill in energy. So that means a solution of acetate will react with water to produce hydroxide, in order to be able to establish equilibrium. So this is the more complicated way of saying something that I might have said a class or two ago. That if you have a strong acid, it loves to let go of its proton, because strong acid means full dissociation or extensive dissociation. Once that proton comes off, it's not wanted back by whatever is left over from the base. I mean, left over from the acid, which is the conjugate base, which is therefore not basic. This is the opposite case, and that's what I'm trying to explain with the graph. This graph, not the graph. Acetic acid does dissociate slightly, but it only dissociates slightly because complete dissociation is higher energy. So if you did force acetic acid to completely dissociate, the reaction wants to return to lower energy, and the only way it can do that is by reacting with water. And so you end up forming hydroxide, which is why you end up with a solution that is neutral, but not neutralized. And so let me come back, because I know that we must have danced around these topics before, but because you've had more acid-based chemistry, more equilibrium, I can say things in a little different way. This is review, but what is the definition of neutral? Question is asking, so weak acids will keep reacting back and forth, but strong acids will react to completion? No, not exactly. Our way of approaching a weak acid or base problem is to assume, in certain situations, a reaction or dissociation, and then allow it to approach equilibrium after that. So I was asking just now, what is neutral? No. Someone just told me pH 7. Why is that? No. It's only true at one temperature. So, the definition of neutral is that the concentration of H plus is equal to the concentration of H minus, which is exactly what you have in pure water. What is the definition of neutralized? I'm looking at you, former 1A students. The rest of the people may be a little confused, but we had this. Equal moles of acids and bases react, yes. So we could say moles acid equals moles base, but I always put this disclaimer in. Which is that we do have to worry about stoichiometry. So if you had a sulfuric acid that had two hydrogens that could come off, you would need two hydroxides for every sulfuric acid to fully neutralize it. But so many of our examples are things like hydroxide and acetic acid. Hydroxide can only take one proton. Acetic acid only has one reactable proton. And so when they're neutralized, it really is just moles acid equals moles base. So why then are neutral and neutralized not the same thing? Well, I just got done talking about that on the previous page. So the thing that's in red, that circle, that says the substance sodium acetate, where did that come from? Wow. The substance sodium acetate solution would be the same that results, so it's the same result as forcing acetic acid to dissociate using sodium hydroxide. So in other words, complete neutralization. But down here, I said a solution of acetate will effectively react with water to produce hydroxide, not neutral. So why are neutralized and neutral not the same thing? It depends on the strength of the acid and base. A neutralized solution is only neutral if the acid and base involved are equal in strength. Oops. Strength. And to give you a contrasting example, let's talk about acetic acid. If a weak acid is neutralized by a strong base, there will effectively be a low concentration of H plus due to weak dissociation, of the acid and a high concentration of hydroxide due to it being a strong base. Since there's more hydroxide in solution than H+, the solution is basic.